In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
A mother on her mobile.
It's not rocket science, Dave. Fabric conditioner on the left, powder on the right.
Behind her, her daughter suddenly stops.
Says, well, I didn't marry you for your brains.
The mother walks on.
Yeah, I'll see you later. Yeah, bye.
The girl lets go of her red balloon. The mother looks round. Her daughter has vanished.
Rachel?
She's in her early 40s with short brown hair. She sees the balloon floating up into the trees. She looks around anxiously.
Rachel! Rachel, please, you're scaring Mummy!
She looks into the trees at the bottom of a slope beside her. She hurries down and brushes through the undergrowth.
There you are! What are you doing? You scared the life out of me!
She sees the body of a man amongst the leaves.
Oh my God!
At the hospital.
She thought he was dead at first. Would have been if the ambulance hadn't got there so fast.
Thank you. Darren McKenzie, age 30, cash and credit card still in the wallet, so no mugging.
Not another random stab.
He was operated on.
And how is he now?
No, I mean he wasn't stabbed. Somebody pumped him full of midazolam and removed his kidney.
You're joking?
Scan proves it. They sliced him open, took his kidney, stitched him back up, and then dumped him. Sorry, I gotta take this.
Matt and Ronnie go into a room and look at the victim through an observation window.
Organ theft in the middle of London. And I thought that was an urban myth.
Tell that to Darren McKenzie.
Images of London are overlaid by shots of the show's characters in action. Law: Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks, Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin, Harriet Walter as DI Natalie Chandler. Order: Ben Daniels as James Steele, Freema Agyeman as Alicia Phillips, and Bill Patterson as George Castle. Law & Order UK, original series created by Dick Wolfe. This episode, Sacrifice, by Terry Kafala and Nathan Cockerill. At the hospital, Mackenzie is now conscious.
Last thing I remember, walking back to the flat late last night.
You don't remember anything about the attack, Mr. Mackenzie?
I remember waking up, being cold and numb, couldn't move.
Is there any family you'd like us to contact?
It's only my sister. We don't get on, we haven't for a while.
You don't remember seeing anyone, hearing anything?
Only the paramedic. Nurse said he saved me.
Well, the doctors say that you're going to make a full recovery, Darren.
Yeah.
But Mackenzie just stares impassively. Later, on a bridge over the Thames.
With an attack like that, it's no wonder he's been knocked sideways.
Except he's not exactly an angel himself. Just got a text message from Ange. 10 years ago, Darren Mackenzie did time for death by dangerous driving, and he's been in and out of prison ever since. Theft, assault, GBH.
And what, you think someone he's upset's come back and nicked one of his kidneys for a bit of revenge?
No,
I don't think
but
so, Matt, no.
Uniform haven't turned up any witnesses, have they?
Well, no, they haven't. So what do we know about organ trafficking?
Well, it tends to be Eastern European, gangs preying on people so poor that they sell their body parts for cash. But you don't think that's what's going on here, do you?
Well, if it's a possibility, we've got to look into it.
MIU headquarters, Bow Street.
Matty, intel reckon there's only one gang operating in the UK that could be involved with organ trafficking, and it's run by Jason Nonstick Taylor. Murder, corruption, blackmail, fraud on a grand scale. Nicked him 14 times, never been put away.
Hence Nonstick.
No, they call him Nonstick because he likes burning people's faces off with a frying pan. Prosecution witnesses in particular. Luckily for us, he's under surveillance. Get your coat.
Surveillance Warehouse, Vauxhall, Friday, the 25th of September.
So what can I do for you?
It's a case we're working on, organ theft. Bloke found on Wimbledon Common.
Did he live?
Yeah, he did, yeah. But we think your target could be our man.
Jason Taylor?
Yep.
Could be. He owns a couple of properties in Wimbledon. Have you got a timeline?
Yeah, any time between midnight and 8 a.m.
Nah. Last night we had Taylor and his whole crew under surveillance.
Definite?
Yeah, we got surveillance of a lot of them at a card game. Started around 7 o'clock and didn't finish until midday. Nobody in or out.
Anyone else on the radar that we should be taking a look at?
For live organ theft. Taylor's the only one psycho enough to do something like that. Sorry, lads.
Their disappointment shows. Out on the street.
If it's not that crew, who else would want to remove a man's kidney?
Religious cult?
Now, they're normally after the heart. That or they rip the eyes out. What? I've read about them. Doesn't mean I'm in one, all right?
We've got to get back to basics. If we want to find out who could do this, we need to find out how you do it.
The next day...
You'd need two people, and even that's dangerous. I've done hundreds of kidney transplants, and there's always been a team of at least half a dozen.
So what equipment would you need?
Scalpel, scissors, sutures, towels, diathermy, anaesthetic machine.
Anaesthetic machine? That must be pretty big.
It's about the size of a cabinet with a telly on it.
Well, you're not going to jump out of the bushes with one of them under your arm, are you?
They walk down a hospital corridor.
Get our admin people to give you a list of suppliers for the machines.
What about buying and selling kidneys illegally?
Well, it happens. Abroad, in the UK, if somebody needs a kidney, central transplant will try and match them up with a donor. There is a very long waiting list, though. So, in case you need me.
Thank you.
She hands Ronnie her card, gives him a winning smile, and walks away. Matt looks at him, amused.
You know what, Matty? We're coming at this from the wrong direction.
We are?
We are. We shouldn't be looking for the person who stole the kidney. We should be looking for the person who needs one.
She just gave you her phone number.
I know.
Central Transplant Unit, Southwark, Monday.
About 3,500 transplants last year, but there are over double that amount of people waiting.
She shows them a register.
I hope you two carry donor cards.
There's no point. My ex has already got everything.
So which of these has had a kidney transplant in the last 72 hours?
She goes over to a computer and clicks on a date. Three names appear on screen.
This one in Kent. This one in Cheshire.
She frowns.
That's odd. There was a transplant done at Waterloo City Hospital on Friday morning. But we didn't arrange that kidney.
Eh? So, who did?
No, we arrange every transplant in the UK. They can't have done a transplant without us providing the kidney. You need to talk to the receiving desk at Waterloo City Hospital. See where it came from.
Organ Receiving Desk, Waterloo City Hospital, Monday the 28th of September.
You ever touched a real kidney? I mean, I'd give it a really good hot prod. Sends shivers up my spine. It does. More soft and squishy. And as for livers, well, don't get me started on that.
You're the delivery desk for the hospital, are you?
Yeah. All organs come through me, in a manner of speaking.
And you were working Thursday night?
Thursday? Yeah, I was on till 5 to 4 in the morning. Graveyard shift.
He looks at a monitor.
The kidney came in at 2:34 a.m.
And any idea where it came from?
Oh, an orderly brought it down. I put in the system at 2:34, 2:38. It went up to Mr. Rebity's department.
Mr. Rebity.
Now, when a donor organ comes in, I check the blood type and the tissue to see if they're compatible. Sorry, I never check the paperwork, the transport paperwork. Why would I?
So does the paperwork say who the donor is, Dr. Remedy?
Mister, surgeons are called Mister. Job used to be done by barbers who weren't medically trained. Honestly, I don't check the paperwork. I never do that. I'm only interested in the patient in front of me. Listen, why don't you check with my staff? They'll have all the documentation. Thank you.
So the kidney transplant you performed, that was the only one done in the hospital that Friday morning?
Yes, Joanna Woodley, late stages of renal failure, been waiting on a transplant for 2 years now.
And where's she right now?
Intensive care. There were complications during surgery. It's nothing serious, but we're keeping an eye on her. Call me if you need anything else.
Intensive care unit, Waterloo City Hospital, SE11, Monday the 28th of September. Matt and Ronnie look through an observation window at a female patient.
Meet Joanna Woodley.
She's a young blonde.
I checked the hospital's usual courier firms. None of them delivered a transplant box the night Darren McKenzie was attacked.
Right, so... a kidney magically turns up at this hospital the night Darren McKenzie gets attacked. You know where that leaves us, don't you, Maddie?
Stolen organs being trafficked into the NHS.
Ronnie nods.
So the tests prove that Darren McKenzie's kidney definitely went into Joanna Woodley.
How does a stolen kidney end up in the NHS? I mean, they've got to have systems in place that can...
Well, believe it or not, the receptionist was breaking up a fight at the time. And when she got back to her desk, there was a transplant box with transport documents. so she got an assistant to take it down to the delivery desk.
The paperwork was falsified, although the healthcare assistant and the receptionist stories do tally.
What about Joanna Woodley? She's the one who benefits most.
She lives with her dad. Apparently she's had two previous transplants. Would you mind chasing that up? Both of them obviously failed. She's minted. Private hospital room, private nurse, the lot.
So what's the one thing money can't buy?
Love.
A kidney on the NHS.
So go and talk to Joanna Woodley's father.
I retired 6 months ago. Worst decision I ever made. Nothing to do but sit at home all day, reading the papers from cover to cover, drinking endless cups of coffee. And I can't even concentrate on that.
Well, to be fair, I'd find it hard to think straight if one of my daughters was ill.
Think straight? Carpet's worn thin.
So you had no idea that the kidney that went into Joanna was stolen?
Absolutely not. No, the whole procedure was just the same as it's always been before.
And when did you know that the transplant was going to happen?
Early Friday morning. I tried not to get my hopes up. Getting a call about a transplant's no guarantee. You know, you've got the assessment and the cross test, and then it still doesn't go through. But Mr. Reverdy always said they'd find one for us eventually, and Joanna and I hoped it would be third time lucky. Oh, my God. Look, she's awake. Joanna's awake. I've got to go and see her.
Mr. Woodley, we're also going to need to speak to Joanna.
Why?
Routine, that's all.
Yeah, sure. By all means, I'll see you there.
Mr. Woodley hurries away. At the hospital, he kneels by Joanna's side, watched by Matt and Ronnie. She turns to them.
How is he? The man that got attacked? Is he all right?
Mr. McKenzie caught an infection. The doctors are keeping him in for the time being.
Oh, God. Dad.
No. Mr. Reverdy said you're going to be fine. You just need to get some rest. We'll sort all this out.
I can't believe this. How could this happen?
That's what we're trying to find out.
Joanna, had you met Darren McKenzie before this or had any contact with him?
No, not at all. Why would I have?
Do we really need to do this now? She really needs to get some rest.
What happens now? Are they going to have to take the kidney out again?
Matt's lips twitch and he turns away.
You mustn't worry about anything. You're going to be fine.
Back at the station.
Come on, I want some progress on this. Someone took out that kidney. They didn't do it for free.
Well, Financial Investigations Unit have checked Philip and Joanna Woodley's bank records. Philip's as clean as a whistle, though Joanne does have two offshore accounts that they're still looking into.
Here we go. Beauty of the internet. Joanna Woodley's medical records said she was cytotoxic. Anyway, I checked it out. Cytotoxic means you reject tissue that's not exactly like yours. It means you need a perfect organ match.
So Darren McKenzie wasn't just any old punter snatched off the street?
No, whoever arranged this knew that Darren was a perfect match for Joanna.
So find out how they knew.
They visit McKenzie.
A few months back, I did a test. See if I could donate some bone marrow to my sister. She's sick. Didn't work, though. Couldn't even get that right. Got the wrong marrow. She's still waiting for a donor. She acts like it's my fault, though. She blames me.
Do you know the name of the company that did the test? We'd like to talk to them.
Yeah, should be in a kitchen somewhere.
Great. Wanted to pick you up anything while we're there? Books, clothes?
A can of beer from the fridge. One kidney, shouldn't take me that long to get hammered.
We'll get you a milkshake.
Later, Matt's on his mobile.
No, I really appreciate that, thank you. Yeah. Result. Darren McKenzie had an HLA test for his bone marrow.
And what's that?
It's a human leukocyte antigen test.
No, what does it mean?
It doesn't matter what it means. It's the same test used to match kidney tissue. So anyone who had his test result would know that he was a feasible match for Joanna Woodley.
OK, all right. So who would have access to his results? His GP?
And the lab that did the test, and I have the address.
Very good.
Waterloo City Hospital, Wednesday, September the 30th.
Yeah. Binville Labs, medical test lab. We use them all the time.
I know. We know, Miss Hale. We've just come from there, and one of the lab clerks claims you bribed him to hand over some confidential medical results.
It's not exactly a bribe. It's a tip. You know, like you tip a waiter or a cabbie. Look, it was to save time. Everyone does it.
Really? Everyone?
Have you ever worked in the NHS? It's a nightmare. Paperwork gets lost, results take forever, you have to fight to get hold of anything, and all the while patients are at risk. I did it to cut through their red tape. Is that a crime now?
Darren McKenzie's name was one of those amongst the results, Valerie.
So were hundreds of others. Look, I work here to help people. I thought I did what was right. Now, there's nothing else.
Back at the police station.
This nurse, Valerie Hale, knew Darren's kidney was a perfect match for Joanna.
But you've no direct evidence linking her or anyone else with the attack on Darren.
She worked at Waterloo City Hospital where the transplant took place. Too much of a coincidence.
Circumstantial, unless you can prove otherwise. What are you grinning about?
Well, whoever operated on Darren McKenzie needed an anaesthetic machine, and guess what?
I found the anaesthetic machine.
Come on, sunshine.
What are you like?
JT Medical Supplies, Hackney E8, Wednesday the 30th of September.
Always wanted to do repairs. Good enough for Kylie and neighbours, it was good enough for me.
Wasn't she a mechanic?
Might have known you'd be a Kylie fan. It's mostly repairs we do here, but sometimes we rent out. Used equipment, that sort of thing. She's old and she's seen better days, but she still works. Say hello to Betsy.
Name all your machines, do you?
Doesn't everyone?
And Betsy was rented out recently, yeah?
Yeah, first time in ages. Some nurse called up, charged it to Rebity. Mr. Rebity's credit card, I don't know.
Mr. John Rebity?
Yeah.
Right, well, we're going to need to have Betsy forensicated.
Be gentle with her.
We will. Was she picked up or delivered?
Delivered. Some private address up in Archway. 63 Wadsworth Street.
Hold on. It's Valerie Hale's gaff.
At Valerie Hale's.
Landlord reckons Valerie Hale's is a perfect tenant. Quiet, never brings dodgy blokes home, apparently.
Except, of course, when she wants to rip one of their kidneys out. So, our Miss Hale gets the anaesthetic machine delivered to her flat the night Darren McKenzie's attacked.
But none of the neighbours saw anyone go in or out of the flat that night. Still circumstantial.
Well, that's as maybe, but she ain't going to be able to operate by herself, is she? That's for sure.
Oh, we ain't got any proof it even happened here. I mean, the forensics lads reckon the place is absolutely spotless.
Forensic technicians go in and out.
Yeah, but you know what? Someone's working really hard to cover their tracks here, Matty.
NHS trained run, probably sterilised place.
Except for some things, of course, you can't sterilise. Sheets, towels, scrubs, that sort of business. They'd have been covered in blood, and they'd have wanted to get rid of these a bit sharpish, wouldn't they?
He sees some communal bins on the other side of the road.
No. No way, Ronnie.
Haringey Municipal Site, N19, Wednesday the 30th of September. Matt and Ronnie sort through the rubbish.
Are you sure this is the right spot?
Valerie Hale's flat was on collection route number 32. And the foreman reckons this is where the 32 lorry dumps its stuff, so stop moaning and keep looking.
What did you do today, Matt? Oh, you know, the usual. Poke through 17 rat-infested, key-ridden skips in a rubbish dump.
You know what you need, son? A bit of PMA. Positive mental attitude. You'd be surprised what people chuck out. That sofa bed in my spare room, for instance.
No, I've slept in that. You said that was from IKEA.
Well, it was originally, wasn't it?
I don't believe it.
Now then, Matty.
He lifts up some bloodstained clothing.
How'd you like your physical proof, son?
Conclusive. Yes.
At the station.
Blood types a match for Darren McKenzie.
But they weren't found in Valerie's flat. How can you prove they have anything to do with her?
Her DNA's all over the sheets, and the perforations of the bin bags matches the roll in her kitchen. How's that?
And the plastic sheets are a mechanical fit of the ones from the hospital. They're actually from the same roll.
So what do you reckon? Charge them with unlawful wounding with intent?
I'll talk to James. Oh, and you need to open a window.
That'll be stick of the dump here.
In the interview room.
Valerie. You probably think that if you lie convincingly enough, you'll walk out of this door and go home. But do you know what? We spend every day facing down lies.
Big lies, small lies. The lies people tell themselves so they can sleep at night.
Ronnie walks forward from the back of the room.
And the thing is, you're so young. You wouldn't want to waste the next few years of your life in some unpleasant surroundings just because you lied.
So we're politely suggesting that you tell us the truth about your involvement, about why the anaesthetic machine was paid for on Mr. John Rebity's credit card, and why you needed Darren McKenzie's kidney.
The surgeon, Mr. Rebity, came to see me. He told me to hire an anaesthetic machine, put sheets on all the floors. He said we had the opportunity to change someone's life for the better. That it couldn't be done on the NHS.
Rebity is giving a lecture when Matt and Ronnie walk into the class.
So, if we move to the topic of graft versus host reaction.
Mr. John Rebity, I'm arresting you for the unlawful wounding of Darren McKenzie. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
Yeah, mine.
Deal, Crown Prosecution Service, Thursday the 29th.
Do you really think you can convince a jury that a highly respected surgeon moonlights as an organ thief?
Darren McKenzie was drugged, taken to Valerie Hale's flat, where he had a kidney removed against his will.
Not by Mr. Rebity. Only Miss Hale's DNA was found on the anaesthetic machine. There isn't any forensic proof my client was at Miss Hale's flat.
We have a confession from Valerie Hale, stating it was Mr. Rebity's idea.
Oh, this is madness. I'm a surgeon. I help people. Why would I do something like this?
Your credit card was used to pay for the anaesthetic machine.
I told you. It was stolen and used without my consent. You can't blame me for what Valerie did to this man.
There's no way Valerie could have operated on Mr. McKenzie by herself.
I'm innocent.
So why is Valerie Hale saying that you operated on Darren McKenzie?
Rebity looks at his lawyer, who nods.
I caught her taking drugs from the hospital. She'd have lost her job, so I didn't tell anyone. She took that as a sign that I was interested in her. When I told her that I wasn't, she got very upset. She's setting me up to get her own back.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Do you have anything more imaginative than that?
Unlawful wounding with intent. You're looking at 3 to 4 years.
Why would I do this? I'd lose everything I've worked for.
Yes, James, I'm fascinated to know how you're going to explain motive.
Alicia glances at James, who looks concerned. On a bridge over the Thames.
He's right. We need to establish why Rebity would get involved in this.
Well, 2 days before the transplant operation, Joanna Woodley and Rebity met at a restaurant.
Well, there are lots of reasons why a patient would meet their surgeon outside of a hospital.
I've looked into Rebity. He's broke. Put all of his money into property. The downturn's hit him hard. He's got 4 mortgages, 5 credit cards, and a very expensive ex-wife.
So he's drowning in debt?
Was. A few weeks ago, he cleared all of his debt.
All of them?
He's in the black for the first time in a decade.
Can we prove where the money came from?
Well, I'm looking into it, but what if Joanna Woodley paid Rebity to find her a kidney?
The transplant system is supposed to be one of the few places where money doesn't talk. Rich or poor, you join a list and you wait.
There's one other thing. Philip Woodley, Joanna's father, he and George were at university together. Best mates, apparently.
Great. So who gets to tell him his friend's daughter might have used her wealth to buy a kidney?
The office of George Castle.
We think Joanna paid Rebity to perform the transplant.
I remember her when she was this high.
He holds his hand at waist level.
It's running about. Into everything. You get tired just watching her.
I'm sorry, George.
George nods. Alicia walks to the door.
Thanks, Alicia. Good work.
She looks back at him sadly.
I'm sure Joanna felt she had no choice.
There's always a choice. This will break Philip's heart.
Is there anything I can do?
Yes, as there's a conflict of interest on my part, you should report to the DPP on this case from now on.
Of course.
So, do what you have to do.
He hands James the file on Joanna. Oakley Square, SW3, Tuesday the 3rd of November. A policeman leads Joanna outside.
What's going on?
Questioned. Something you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given evidence.
I haven't done anything.
Matt, Ronnie and Alicia watch as a WPC puts Joanna in a police car. George shows Philip Woodley into his office.
I'd seriously believe this. Joanna would never do anything like that.
Well, then she's nothing to worry about.
She's just had a major operation. The stress of this could set her back, George.
Philip, please, this is James's case. I have to step back.
So, why have you asked me here, then?
As a courtesy, I wanted you to hear from me personally. Joanna has just been arrested.
What? Have you got me here to keep me out of the way?
Better all round, Philip.
Woodley slams down his glass and storms out. George sighs. In the interview room...
I had nothing to do with this. I was in hospital having dialysis when Darren McKenzie was attacked.
Joanna, we have you on camera in Chelsea with Mr. Rebity 2 days before your operation.
Surely if you wanted to speak to your surgeon, you would make an appointment.
He's looked after me for a couple of years now. I didn't realise it was a crime to meet him in public.
No. That's the peril of our job, though, you see. We are naturally suspicious.
Especially when 2 days later, Mr. Reverty's got you a kidney, courtesy of Darren McKenzie.
I didn't know that's what was going to happen.
Joanna, I think you're lying. I think
he told you exactly what was going to happen that night when you
met him.
No!
Did you tell John Reverty to go ahead? Is that when you arranged to clear all his debts?
What? No, I didn't know anything until...
Until? Until what?
Joanna, we found this at your property. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's an HLA test. I must have memorised my note of the years. I had to produce it enough times.
Yeah, I bet.
Ronnie nods grimly. Matt gives a thin smile.
Except, of course, this isn't your HLA test. This belongs to Darren McKenzie.
James and Alicia are watching the scene on monitors in another room.
All right. It's all down to me. This is my fault. I paid Mr. Reverty to find me a perfect match any way he could.
Joanna's brief looks at Ronnie. Ronnie and Matt examine Joanna curiously.
Okay. Joanna Woodley,
we're charging you with the unlawful wounding of Darren McKenzie.
Rules and regulations, where's my daughter?
Demand.
I've waited long enough, I'm not waiting a minute longer.
Quick. You cannot go in there.
Where's Joanna?
She's just been charged. She's confessed to conspiring to attack Darren McKenzie.
She's lying.
What?
Get me George Castle here, now.
James raises his eyebrows. Alicia hurries out. Later, George speaks to Woodley in the station.
Joanna's lying.
Why would you do a stupid thing like that?
To protect me.
What are you talking about?
It was my idea.
Shut up, Phil.
It was my idea, George. I'm responsible.
For God's sake, say nothing more. Nothing more, do you? I can't hear this. You need a solicitor.
Later.
I paid John Reverty to do this. £2 million. I'll give you the details of the payment transfers. I had to work quite hard to disguise it. I told him to find a kidney for Joanna. The system wasn't working for her. I tried to go around it.
He's in the interview room.
All the money I have, couldn't help her.
So Joanna knew nothing about this?
No. She knew that an operation was imminent. She and Reverty had dinner together and he told her that he'd find her a kidney.
But she didn't know where the kidney was coming from?
Not till after the operation. She was horrified. I had to do something. I couldn't lose her.
Matt glances at Ronnie. George watches the interview on the monitors in the other room. Later, he and James walk along a street.
I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Philip. My mother died when I was in my final year at university and I was a write-off. I was legless every night. I got arrested. I was so drunk, I couldn't say my own name. Philip came in, lied to the police, told them that my name was Philip Woodley. He said that he was George Castle and that he was there to bail me out. He released me. Philip knew that if I got a record, I wouldn't have been able to practice law. He saved me that night.
George walks on sadly. Back in James's office.
Woodley's done a deal. We've charged him with unlawful wounding with intent. We'll be charging you with the same.
What? But he came to me. He was desperate for me to do something for Joanna.
You attacked an innocent man.
Oh, no, I knew what I was doing.
What do you think gave you the right to do this?
Let me tell you about Darren McKenzie, because when I found he was a perfect match, I looked into his life. He ran down a young girl and killed her. Nothing good has come of Darren McKenzie on this planet, but I changed that. When his kidney went into Joanna Woodley,
His existence had meaning. He'd done something good for the first time in his life.
Do you even hear what you're saying? Darren McKenzie did not volunteer to donate. You don't get to make that choice for him.
I get to make those choices every day. That's what surgeons do. The system failed her. I didn't. You might think you're better than me, but you couldn't do what I do. I have lost count of the lives I have saved. Whereas you, you've never made a tough decision in your life.
He glares at James, his briefs beside him.
You did this for the money, Mr. Rabbit.
What shall I tell you about the NHS? They promised me a promotion, then withdrew it when the books didn't balance. I was swamped with debt by that time. Woodley's money got me out of it.
What's our best hope here, James?
If your client pleads guilty to simple, unlawful wounding, he could get as little as 18 months. But he'll need to give evidence against Philip Woodley.
Oh, for God's sake, come on, George. How difficult can it be to file something properly?
George's office.
Are you okay, George?
What the hell was Philip thinking about?
It's Darren McKenzie. He died this morning. A major hemorrhage.
Is it connected to the original attack?
A renal artery wasn't tied off properly when his kidney was taken. He got an infection. The hospital operated, but he died.
This means that Philip Woodley is responsible for the death of Darren McKenzie.
Oh, God.
Sloane Square, SW3, Wednesday the 11th of November. George walks with Woodley.
At least you got bail.
I'm not going down without a fight. I need your help, George.
Now, Philip, listen.
I want you to defend me.
What? Well, that's the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard, and I go to meetings with the Home Secretary.
I'm serious. I need your help.
You confessed to the crime.
I confessed to the assault, not to manslaughter. I didn't know the boy was going to die.
I can't do it, Philip.
We never ever asked you for anything. If the situation were reversed,
I'd fight
for you.
I work for the CPS. There are thousands of better defence barristers in London. I could recommend several.
No.
I haven't defended for 20 years. I'd have to turn cartwheels to get my boss to agree.
CPS policy actively encourages employees to gain experience in defence.
You've been reading our website.
I always do my research.
They sit down on a bench.
There's a case to be made. I did this for Joanna. If I go to prison for manslaughter, I'll barely see her. I'm entitled to the best possible defence, George, and that is you.
Back at George's office.
A sabbatical, you're kidding.
I've cleared it with the DPP. I'm not conflicted. I've had no prior involvement with this case so far. Thank you. And so long as I excuse myself from office, then I can defend Philip. That is the beauty of the English legal system, James.
You're really sure?
I owe him this much. And I've already organized my replacements. Good man, very competent, comes highly recommended.
Who is he?
You, James, director of CPS London. Just don't get too comfy. I'll be back in a matter of months. And I've already marked a whiskey bottle.
George, there is no defense here. He's confessed.
Well, he's confessed to unlawful wounding. He has not confessed to manslaughter.
George, as a technicality.
Make your strongest case. I will make mine. And may the best man win.
George walks out smiling. James looks around the office bemused. The Statue of Justice above the Old Bailey. Men dressed in barristers' robes and wigs move through the elegant hall inside. George opens his black metal wig box and takes a gown off a coat hanger. He places the wig carefully over his grey hair and looks at himself solemnly in the mirror. He picks up his files and exits the dressing room. He steps slowly into the deserted courtroom. He runs his fingers along the counsel's bench, then takes his position in front of the judge's chair. James enters, clutching a bundle of papers. He and George contemplate each other for a moment, then James takes his place at the other end of the bench. Later, the trial is underway.
The defence submits that the Crown has no case. Manslaughter requires that death be the direct result of the accused's unlawful act. Darren McKenzie was not attacked by the defendant. Causation is not established.
In the Crown's submission, Mr. Woodley caused Darren McKenzie to be attacked. The defendant explicitly told Mr. Rebity to do whatever's necessary.
Do whatever's necessary is not the same thing as telling Mr. Rebity to attack Darren McKenzie.
Mr. Rebity is a credible witness.
If not a credible surgeon.
Mr. Woodley's idea led to Mr. Rebity's actions, the result of which was the death of Darren McKenzie.
My lord, Mr. Woodley took no action against Darren McKenzie.
I must accede to the Crown's submission, Mr. Castle. There is a case to be heard. Though I wonder whether a jury will succumb to your argument, Mr. Steele.
My lord.
Crown versus Woodley, trial day 2, Tuesday the 24th of November. Rebity's on the stand.
Joanna's body had rejected 2 previous kidneys. There are rules regarding transplants. Having a third is very unusual. Philip Woodley came to me and asked me what we could do. I was honest. I said we were out of choices.
And what did the defendant say?
Well, he said he couldn't accept that. His daughter deserved a normal life. He said I should, and I'm quoting, do whatever is necessary.
What did you take that to mean?
Well, if we couldn't find a kidney by legal means, I should investigate other options.
Illegal means?
I made it clear that all legal avenues were exhausted.
If the defendant hadn't spoken to you, would you have planned the attack on Darren McKenzie?
No, of course not. The whole idea came from Mr. Woodley.
Woodley looks at him stonily.
Thank you. No further questions.
George stands and leans on his lectern.
You're giving evidence for the Crown against the defendant, aren't you, Mr. Rebity? For a reduced sentence.
I'm still going to prison, and I'm telling the truth.
Once you found Darren was a match, didn't you consider offering him part of the £2 million to donate a kidney?
If we'd asked Darren and he'd said no, that would have been the end of it.
Or more likely because you wanted to keep that money for yourself, didn't you?
It's no secret I had a number of debts.
Why didn't you look abroad? Source the kidney from another country?
Joanna had major organ rejection problems and worsening renal failure. The chances of finding a match are extremely rare. Besides, it would have taken time. Mr. Woodley was worried his daughter was giving up.
So when the defendant instructed you to do whatever is necessary, didn't you query it? Didn't you want to clarify with the defendant what that meant?
No.
So Mr. Woodley chatted to you about his sick daughter, and you misinterpreted his words wildly. The court might have reason to wonder why Mr. Woodley is on trial for a death that you caused.
James rubs his mouth uneasily.
All right.
The court stands and a constable steps into the dock. George turns to his colleague.
You get onto the deck, collecting service, get me the witness statement from where this very, very good.
George whispers to a woman behind him. Alicia turns to James.
He's good, isn't he?
Did you ever think he wouldn't be?
Crown versus Woodley, trial day 5, Friday the 27th of November. In the dressing room, George looks in the mirror to put on his wig and sees James come in behind him.
So, what do you think?
Neck and neck, I reckon.
Oh, never liked the wig. Looked like Amy Winehouse.
Trust me, George, you don't.
I've forgotten how much I missed this.
He pats James on the shoulder and walks out. James opens his own locker. Later, Woodley is on the stand.
Last year, Joanna wanted to stop the dialysis. She couldn't cope with it any longer. If I had let her, she would have died within weeks. I knew then I had to do something.
What did you mean when you told Mr. Rebity to do whatever's necessary?
The NHS system wasn't working for Joanna, and what I meant was he should try a different approach, think outside the box.
Did you consider that those words could lead to a man's death?
Absolutely not. It wasn't supposed to be like this.
Thank you, Mr. Woodley. No further questions.
James remains seated for a moment. He stands, but looks down pensively.
Why did you pay John Rebity £2 million?
To facilitate the acquisition of a kidney for my daughter.
So it was a business transaction then?
In a way, yes.
So you drew up a contract, you had an agreement in writing?
No.
James folds his arms.
Why not?
Well, it didn't seem appropriate.
You didn't want to leave any trace, did you? Because you knew that what you were asking John Rebity to do was illegal.
I thought that Rebity would use the money to find and pay someone to donate a kidney that matched. I'd done the research. People live perfectly full lives with only one kidney.
So you gave him explicit instructions? You asked him to guarantee that no one would be hurt?
No. I thought that was implicit.
Well, you expect a jury to believe that a successful businessman, like yourself, expert at analyzing risks and outcomes, didn't foresee the possibility of someone getting hurt?
I didn't hurt anyone.
No, you paid John Rebity to do it for you.
That's not what the money was for.
That £2 million was one thing and one thing only, wasn't it? Blood money.
No!
Without you, your instructions, or your payments to Mr. Rebity, none of these events would have taken place, would they?
It's not that simple.
Oh, I suggest that it is, Mr. Woodley. Without you, Darren McKenzie would still be alive, wouldn't he?
All I ever wanted was for my daughter to live. Any parent would feel the same.
Well, I'm a parent, Mr. Woodley. And I find your actions abhorrent.
Mr. Steele.
I didn't...
That's enough.
I did not intend for that boy to die.
Well, Darren McKenzie is dead, Mr. Woodley, and you're responsible, aren't you?
My Mr. Steele.
And what would you have done?
Final warning.
What would you have done, if it was your child?
Stayed within the law.
James looks over at George, then takes his seat. Crown versus Woodley, trial day 9, Thursday the 3rd of December.
Would the defendant please stand?
Woodley holds onto the railing at the front of the dock.
Members of the jury, have you reached a verdict upon which you are all agreed?
Yes.
On the count of manslaughter, do you find the defendant, Philip Woodley, guilty or not guilty?
Woodley's hands twitch nervously.
Guilty.
Joanna Woodley weeps.
I would like to thank the members of the jury in this case. You were told at the beginning of the case to pay particular attention to the evidence before you.
George looks guiltily at Woodley. Later, Woodley is sitting in a cell. A guard opens a panel in the door, looks through, then unlocks the door and shows George inside.
No bail this time, eh?
Afraid not, Philip.
Woodley stands and shakes George's hand.
Thank you, George.
George looks compassionately at Woodley, then walks out. He turns in the doorway and takes one last look at his friend. The guard closes the panel in the door. In the courtroom, George passes some files to his female colleague. James and Delita are at the other end of the bench. James walks over gingerly.
George.
He holds out his hand. George shakes it warmly.
I'm sorry.
What for? You done nothing wrong. A man died. You prosecuted, I defended, the jury decided. Can you just give me a moment?
James nods and walks away. George remains standing, looking over at the judge's chair and around the courtroom. He looks both solemn and wistful. He smiles wryly to himself. Then he picks up his case, switches off his desk light, and moves to the door, running his fingers along the bench as he does so. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. Next time, a young girl vomits blood on the pavement.
70 heroin-filled condoms in the stomach. One of the condoms ruptured.
Why would a young British girl risk smuggling drugs?
How can Debbie be mixed up with heroin?
Who's your contact in Thailand?
Who arranged the drugs?
Jerry is the middleman. He had the contact in Thailand.
It's a hopeless case. Even I couldn't win it. Drop the charges.
He's never lost a case.
Tell us what we want to know, or we'll settle for you.
I'll kill you!
The police threatened me. Physically. Even I couldn't win this case now.
Audio description by ITFC.